You are the best this world has to offer. No wonder it has fallen to ruin.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Hello and welcome to ReadyCheck, the podcast where we're the noobs so you don't have to be. This week we'll be discussing some small news that arrives from the halls of PAX Gaming Conference in Boston. Apparently Blizzard announced some new intellectual property or something. We'll also be discussing and talking about LFR Wing 2, which opened on Wednesday of this week. And we'll be there asking the question of, are they going to nerf the trash after Jinrock? Because it's not fun. I'll be your host today. I'm known as Flaps on Ghostlands EU, where I play as a Disc Priest and part of a casual core raid guild, Harvest Moon. And today I'm joined by two of the very best. Also from Harvest Moon, the Holy Pally with the best dad raid leading voice, the almighty Tommen,
you can't see, but I'm glaring at you.
I know the dad voice.
I'm very disappointed in you.
We're also joined this week by everyone's favourite overpowered tank slash healer, Relic the Guildmaster and Bloodspec DK. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, pretty well, thank you.
Doing okay. Can I just say that we're not overpowered, we're perfectly balanced.
You keep telling yourself that until that nerf bat hits you hard.
Perfectly balanced, except for in the 5.3 PTR notes, it says, more information coming soon, which means we're nerfing you bitches.
Oh,
bloody hell.
So let's start the show. Tommen, you've obviously been away for a little while. You missed last week's show.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, man?
Well, I went to Hong Kong with work, which was not as fun as it sounds, but since I've come back I have made a point of catching up on LFR, which has been pretty cool. I did both of the wings today for the first time, so annoyingly enough I actually have more experience in normal mode than I do in LFR, which is completely the opposite way round as to what it is normally. But I did the first six bosses today in LFR, enjoyed them quite a lot, pretty good fun. I also, when I was away, I bought a new gamepad. I bought a Logitech G13, and I had a Razer Nostromo before, which was pretty amazing, but I figured I'd like some more buttons, so I've got one of those, and I've realised that I'm really rubbish with it. I'm absolutely terrible, so I've been wiping groups and putting added protection on tanks and just basically being a massive nub, so that's been pretty good fun.
What is it with you about and these gamepads? I mean, I've always just settled with using a keyboard. Granted, I've got a lot of binds over the whole thing, but what draws you onto these control pads, man? I just don't know.
This is a very good question, and I'm sure, you know, sometime in the past I would have said something along the lines of, well, you know, it helps me to reach my keybinds a little bit better or whatever, but these days I think it's just because. Just because it's something new and shiny, and why not?
Multiple jump buttons, yeah.
Everything is just bound to hold irradiance anyway, to be honest. I just mashed my face into it.
How about yourself, Relic? What have you been up to this week? I hope not learning any gamepads.
Oh, no. I've been up to very little because I've had so much work to do, unfortunately. I tried the new LFR last week in the second wing today. The second boss in the second wing is pretty cool. The Hydra one.
Oh, yeah. The heads.
We didn't get to the third one. I can't remember why. I think we're just wiping on trash constantly. I can't remember.
Giant snails.
Oh man.
That's it. The giant snails. Those.
I love that. I absolutely love the new LFR. I really enjoyed it. But myself, I have been, as I mentioned in last week's show, grinding tiller's rep. I still want that furniture of my little hut at the farm. And tomorrow I should have it. Yay me, woo.
Yeah,
doing lots of dailies, and people are starting to think I actually enjoy dailies. I'd like to clear it up now, I do not enjoy dailies. I don't know why I do them. It's a need for gold and also rep at the moment, so I get my enchanting recipes. All good fun really.
Can you do mine for me?
Well, I might have to start charging you real money, if that's okay.
Okay. Battery fitting.
if you don't want to do the rep grind, but you like killing shit, then go hunt down the Warbringer, the new Vendelari ad that's showing up all around Pandaria, because they drop rep tokens for various factions. Yeah. So if you get the big ones, you'll need two or three people. The little ones you could probably solo. But Giz's other half and I killed one of the big ones this morning. I dropped three or four rep tokens,
oh,
I think.
Wow.
And the single ones were dropping one or two at a time, so it's pretty cool.
That sounds awesome. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
I've also just seen as well, Tobin, you've also put in here about my quest to life grip someone.
to death. So, I'll clear this up. In our last raid, we spent quite a lot of time working through the bridge boss on the way to Horridon. I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's horrible. So what we were trying to work out is whether we could have Flaps life grip somebody into the blue circle and get them knocked off the bridge and kill them. I think that'd be hilarious. I'm probably on my own in that thinking, but I do think that it should be done.
No, I will keep trying to do it to Melgrim.
It's the logical choice.
I also almost had him yesterday. He was bouncing along on his mount across the bridge when we actually cleared all the trash. But he was bouncing along on his mount, and I tried pulling him back so he'd be facing me and just jump straight off the edge. But he cottoned onto it at the last second. Very close, though.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy if you do manage it.
Okay, let's move on with the show before we get too derailed. Into the new section. So, guys, there was, something called PAX, I think. Some small gaming conference in Boston, I think it was. And some really small company, Blizzard, I think it was. They had some kind of announcement to make, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if you guys heard much about it before PAX started, but I don't know if I just misunderstood, but I was kind of led to believe that it was going to be a new IP, you know, nothing to do with Warcraft,
yeah.
Nothing to do with StarCraft or Diablo. And I'll be honest, I mean, by now you guys have seen the news, you know that Hearthstone's coming out, you know that it's a WoW-based CCG. I'll be honest, it looks pretty cool to me. I do like the look of it. I'm a bit of a sucker for that kind of thing, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit disappointed.
I mean, it's fair. Looking at, because I was watching the feedback on Twitter, I was stuck in a meeting at the time, just watching Twitter on my phone, and when they actually announced it, everyone was so negative about it. And then, obviously, as you normally get in any of these kind of things, after about half an hour or so, it started to die down, and people started looking into actually what it is, and I think people are actually starting to get more excited about it now. I've signed up for the beta.
Beta.
Beta. It's all the same.
Better.
Yeah, I'm the same. And although I am a little bit disappointed, I'm only disappointed because it's not a new IP. I'm only disappointed because it's not something brand new. I'm not actually disappointed insofar as what it is, because it looks pretty good fun. I mean, if you've watched the videos, it's you know, a 3D game board with all of the spell effects from the game. It looks really, really cool. And you know, you don't have to spend a lot of money to play it. It is free to play, so you can buy cards and you can, you know, improve your deck by spending real money, but you don't have to. So I'm definitely going to try it out. You know, each game is supposed to take about 10 minutes, so that's the perfect amount of time for, you know, having a wee break in the middle of a raid or whatever. So I'm really excited about it.
And you can play it on iPad as well, which is going to be quite cool. No, I was just going to say, I like the idea that if you buy cards that you already have, you can disenchant them, basically, into mats that you can use to make epic cards later, which is quite cool. So no more worrying about doubles.
It'd be like collecting football cards, though. It'd be like, you know, I've got David Beckham shiny, do you want to do a swapsies kind of thing? It's going to be brilliant.
Dave looking to relive his pogs.
Pogs, yes. I've still got them in the
end. One of the things I did find interesting about the announcement, though, is they've obviously said that they're going to release it on the iPad and obviously the iPhone. But there's no mention of Android.
No, at the moment. They did clarify that in a tweet a little bit after the announcement. They said that they may bring it to other platforms eventually. That's just the three that they're working on right now.
Yeah, they have an iOS development team internally, so I don't think that Android is in their focus as a priority platform.
Still, that kind of loses favour for the game, doesn't it? I mean...
Not really, fucking Android.
Uh-oh.
I mean, you can play it on Mac and you can play it on PC anyway, so if you're a Warcraft player, then you're playing it on one of those two platforms anyway.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I don't think you could play WoW on a HTC One X at the moment, can you, Dave?
There's nothing wrong with my phone. It's brilliant.
Excellent. So we also took this chance as well to open up some questions to our tweeters, people following us. Taman, do you want to just go through a few of the answers there?
Yeah, so we got basically I asked the question, are you looking forward to Hearthstone? Yes, no, or other. We had a couple of responses. So at Big Bear Butt says, it makes me wish that they announced a Skylander style game using miniatures as awesome as the ones from the WoW miniatures game. Cards are cool, but minis come to life heroes would be insane. I completely agree. It would be ridiculously cool. Can you just imagine? And like, oh man, I'd spent way too much time playing Warhammer when I was a bit younger. Can you just imagine if you got those amazing miniatures and you could paint them and you could just chuck... Oh my good God, it would be ridiculous.
You could start a whole new kind of type of video, couldn't you, for like raid bosses and stuff like that, where you could actually use pieces and move them around the board. It'd be fantastic.
I could use my work printer to print off the boss blueprints. I'm going to stop now. I think I'm going to have a bit of a nerdgasm.
Well, fingers crossed that's something that they might bring out in the end.
Trimble IRL says, it's good that it's coming. It's bad that it's not here yet. This should have been done in Cataclysm. Which I guess is a fair point. I mean, it's not a massive thing. They could have looked at this a lot sooner, I think. I mean, what do you guys think? Is this...
And it would have given us something to do in Cataclysm as well.
You know, other than you know, stop playing and rage quit, which is what I did. But yeah, I mean, do you guys think this is a good time for it to come out? Do you think it's badly timed?
I don't think it's badly timed. I think it's... You know, any time's a good time to bring out something like this. One question I've seen raised, and which I've been wondering, is because this is a Warcraft tie-in that you can buy stuff with microtransactions that you use in-game, how soon are we going to be seeing that kind of thing brought into the world of Warcraft? Are we going to see a real money auction house soon, or anything like that? What do you think?
Ooh, that's a question. I don't think they'll do it for any kind of stat-based items. They might do it for just kind of the way a bit of armor looks. But I can't see them bringing in something where you're going to get WoW to the point where you pay to win.
Exactly. They've always said that's not their design intention. I mean, look at the mounts and the mini pets that you can buy. You can do that already. So, you know, it's already there. We're already doing it. So... I don't think it's going to be stuff that will make your character better. It's just going to be stuff that might distinguish you from other people.
Do you think perhaps they might bring in a real money black market auction house?
Ooh, see, now that's a tough one, but I don't think so. I think the reason that we've got a black market auction house is because we needed a bigger gold sink, because there are just so many people on millions of gold these days. So we needed a way to get rid of it. I don't think it would be a good idea to have people buy that stuff with real money. I think it's a bad idea, and I think Blizzard probably are of the same opinion.
Well, you do say so yourself.
Because I should be, you know, the designer for Blizzard, so I, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way that would work if they were going to start charging microtransactions or transactions, even God, I can't speak, for all the mini bits of armor they're going to do in the game, then they'd have to take away the subscription fee. And I think they make more than enough money from that, and I think their business model for the game is working well for them, especially the amount of users they've got. Okay. So let's move on to the next part of the news section then. Let's talk a little bit about the LFR Wing 2. So we've had three new bosses obviously brought out this week, this Wednesday. Dave, what are the names of these bosses? I'm not even going to try.
Man, don't put me on a spot like this. Well, okay, there's big flying boss with the eggs that tries to push you off the edge.
Nice, yes.
He's a bit of a bitch. No, actually, I... Being perfectly honest, I don't know. I'm being a bit rubbish. Normally, I learn everything about a fight before we're about to do it on normal. but when I walk into that other far, I'm kind of fresh. So, yeah.
No, I think that's fair enough. I mean, one of the things I did notice is the amount of wipes that we're having on the Hydra Star boss. Perhaps one of you can help me out with the names here. But the one with the heads, I can't wait to get to that in normal. It's such an interesting fight. I really enjoyed it in LFR, and it was actually a challenge as well, which kind of shocked me, because the first three bosses that they put out on the LFR TOT, they were a complete walkover. But this set's really challenging.
Yeah, we did. Honey and I did the second wing today. But we only did the first two bosses because the bastard snails kept us from getting to G-Kun. So we did Tortoise, which is absolutely boring as hell. For me anyway, because I was tanking Tortoise. I wasn't doing the bats or whatever it was that come out. But the Hydra boss, which is Megara, I cannot wait to do that on normal mode. I was not the blue dragon or the blue head boss tank. I was doing the other two. So it was like taunting this one and keeping it to the side until it died, then running across the entire room to get the other one, and going back and forth like that, and it was amazing, amazingly good fun. So I can't wait to do that on normal mode.
I have to say, I did G-Kun today. He's the third boss in the second wing, and as a healer, that fight is absurdly boring. I didn't enjoy it at all. You kind of just sit still, heal, bit more healing. I wasn't one of the guys that did the egg phase, so, you know, that would make things a bit more interesting. But I kind of just healed a little bit, and then I ran forwards towards the boss when he tried to push me off the edge, and then I healed a little bit more. So I have to say I didn't really enjoy that one that much.
Okay. I haven't done that one, so I'm looking forward to seeing it just for the sake of it. But this wing is much more interesting than the first wing, LFR style.
Is that because it's harder?
I wouldn't say it's harder, per se. I think Tortoise is a cakewalk if your second tank is handling the adds alright. And if people are actually bouncing the shell properly instead of trying to kick it off the walls. but that second boss is really interesting, I think. For me, anyway, for a tank. Because it's not a tank swap fight. Yeah! Thank Christ for that.
No, I much prefer the whole layer. And the only thing I'm not too keen on is the trash. Those giant snails.
Yeah.
They wiped us. I think I was in a team and we did the first two bosses. Not really many problems. We may have wiped a couple of times. And we got to those snails and it just took us so long because people just did not get out of the way. it's not a hard mechanic, is it? It's just something that Blizzard have always had, you know, run away from this if it's chasing you.
But it's quite a narrow little walkway down the side of the waterfalls to run in, though, I guess. So maybe people are just kind of, I don't know, frame rate issues and not being bothered and thinking, oh, it's as easy as LFR. I don't know.
AFK.
Yeah.
Well, I made the mistake of seeing the big snail and I was ahead of everyone else and I thought, I can take this one. Monsh!
Oh dear.
Relic is dead.
And talking of trash as well, I just wanted to touch on the trash after Jin Rock. And we're talking TOT normal now, so LFR is not a massive issue, I don't think. But the trash that we've actually got after Jin Rocks, you're doing the wind bridges.
The Bridge of Doom.
Yeah, the bridge boss.
The Bridge of Doom
indeed, yeah. So we actually spent longer on that this week than we did on the first boss after we one-shotted it, but we'll come on to that. Do you think it's going to get nerfed or is it going to be there to stay? Are our gear levels just going to rise so it gets easier? Or what are your feelings?
We found that we could only actually take one spirit at a time, which significantly slowed us down, I think. So what we ended up doing is we ended up staying right at the start of the bridge and pulling all of the spirits from the, you know, there are two parts of the bridge. There's the first bit and then there's like a big circle and then there's the second part of the bridge. So what we did is we made sure we stayed at the start and cleared the entire first part of the bridge before we moved, just because it was too hard, I think, for us to try and time the Spirit Flayer patrols as they were coming through, and we were all getting blown off the bridge, and also it was too easy to pull more than one at a time, and our group we kind of struggled whenever there was more than one spirit at a time, and that might be a gear thing. It might be because we were a little bit rubbish. Probably both of those things. But yeah, so we found it was a lot easier to take one at a time, which meant that it was just really slow. We spent an awful lot of time on that trash, even though we didn't wipe very many times. It just took a long time.
Yeah, I think our main issue as a raid team is that we're braver than our abilities and gears should allow us to be. So we take more risks than perhaps we should.
Just charging forward.
Yeah.
No care in the world.
I put my hand up as someone asked, can you go and stand in the blue thing? And I thought, okay, I'll go try it out. And it was a bit of a corpse run. I got back eventually.
Ooh, what's this blue light do? Guys, I've just fallen off the edge.
Yeah, don't stand in that thing.
Because it doesn't knock you off enough. If you look at it, it just does a little bit of damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, massively different. But I think that's a good thing, because can you imagine those bridges in LFR? Just imagine it.
Oh, Christ. It's bad enough getting across an LFR with everyone surviving.
Excellent. That just about finishes the all we had to cover in the news section this week. So we're going to move on to the part of the show where we're going to talk about, obviously, Harvest Moon. We're also going to talk about some of the problems we have to face as a guild. And it's quite aptly named, Relic.
We gonna die!
Let's have it one more time. I know we always have it two times, but come on, one more time for luck.
We gonna die.
That was different.
Ooh.
It's not the same.
We gonna die.
That's monkey dance. Thank you very much. Okay, so we've Harvest Moon. We moved into the TOT instance again this week, or raid again, sorry. And well, Dave, how did we do?
Yeah, we did okay. So we spoke about it last week, but for our first Jinrock kill, we managed to kill him with three tanks, which isn't something that I'm particularly proud to admit. So we went in this week with a more traditional raid makeup, and we managed to one-shot him. In fact, we were so comfortable that after some freak deaths somewhere in the middle of the raid, I was so sure we were going to wipe and have to do it again. I was just like, okay, no, we'll save the combat reses, we'll just save them for now. And then we got further and further into the fight, and I thought, oh crap. Okay, yeah, we better combat res somebody. So yeah, it was a good kill, actually. It was a really good kill. We managed to get him before the fourth storm, so we beat the Soft Enrage. And yeah, it was a good one. Then we spent the rest of the night fighting the bridge boss, which is great.
Yeah, not quite the rest of the night. Close to it. But yeah, I mean, I was really impressed with that kill. And for us to... Was it first attempt?
Yeah, we won't
show. I think it was, wasn't it? Just literally just went in there with some people who've never done that boss before and one-shotted it, which was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So yeah, after that we moved on to the boss, the trash boss, the spirits on the bridges, and we managed to get by that in the end. And we then came on to the big dinosaur dude. So Relic, how did that go?
Shit.
Why don't you say what you really think? Jesus.
No, when okay. Well, you know, Jinrock's a cakewalk, as it should be, really, considering the tactics. But Horridan's going to take some work. It's that second gate, which is the poison gate, I think. Is that the poison gate? That's the one that's undoing us, I think. But I asked on Twitter about this, and I had a bunch of people come back to me who have done it, and they basically said, dispel your asses off, which I think we were doing, so...
Yeah, so, I mean...
Yeah, don't know.
If we...
We'll have to work through it, I suppose.
If you had to... Well, obviously, we've covered before. We said what a guild going into Jinrock should expect from the fight. So, over to you again, Taman. I mean, what would you suggest to a new guild who's just got Jinrock down, they've just gone onto Horridan? What are they going to expect in this fight?
An awful lot of movement is my experience of it. So, making sure that you're not standing in the sandstorms, making sure you're not stood in the poison pools, it's more a coordination fight than Jinrock. I think we need to make sure that you know, us personally, what we need to try and fix is we need to make sure that we're not getting double swiped in the middle of the raid. Basically, we need to make sure that we're all kind of concentrating on the right ad, and we need to make sure we're moving out of all of the crap on the floor. It doesn't sound too hard when you put it like that, but there are a lot of ads, there's a lot of stuff going on, you know, so it is quite a complicated fight. So I think, you know, it's just a case of practicing it, and it is a fight that is all about the execution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about ad priority, I think. And that's always going to be difficult once you're coming into something fresh. It was the first night we've seen it.
It was, yeah, and it was fairly intense.
And it's not really, something that you can practice on LFR. I mean, in LFR, it is purely an AoE fest and getting the Dino guy down at the end. But on normal mode, you know, you need to get the elites down properly and interrupt and all that crazy jazz. So
it's very, it was massively intense for the healers as well. Again, I'm not sure if that's coming back to it being an execution fight or if that is actually going to be how we're going to have to deal with the fight. The second gate, the poison gate, was just overwhelming. Really, we all went in with full mana, and during this one small phase of the fight, what is it, one-fifth of the fight, I think, a gate is, you know, we found ourselves coming close to out of mana just through spamming. But I'm looking forward to hitting it again, and I think next time with the forum discussions and such going, I think we're going to go in there with a much better fighting chance. I don't think we expected to do quite as well and get down Jinrock as quick as we did, so we didn't think we were going to have as many attempts on Holodin, but...
Well, I did. I reckon we'd one-shot Jinrock.
Ever the optimist.
Ever the optimist. But going back to what we said last week... It all came down to execution on Jinrock and handling that debuff properly, which we didn't do the first week, which is why we had to take three tanks.
So what was different? What was different this week? If you don't mind me asking, I mean, I
Okay, so coming into the boss, obviously we're posting all the tactics and everything and watching the videos, and everyone kept on talking about how you have to tank swap on static wound, which is the debuff you get that has 10 stacks right from the off.
Oh yeah.
And they put 120,000 damage on the raid every time the boss hits you if you have that debuff. So the first week was me and Dram, our warrior tank, and we were tank swapping on every time one of us got static wound. But the issue is, you get static wound and the boss is going to get a swipe on you before you get a chance to taunt off. So that's 120,000 damage, you know, to everyone straight off from the bat. But what the boss actually does is put a 3-second pre-debuff, as I call it, on you, which is what you actually swap on. So this past week it was our other DK Severity came in with me, and that's what I told her to do, and we did that, and she nailed it perfectly, as she always does. I nailed it pretty good, and we flew through it. It was fine from my perspective anyway.
Yeah, I mean, even the healing actually this week was a lot better. I mean, during the normal phases we didn't have much problems, and obviously during the lightning storm game we had to heal like crazy, but that's part of the fight.
I think this just shows that the issue that comes when you rely on online guides without doing your own research, especially on a fresh brand new boss that is a purely progression fight for us, you know.
Of course, yeah.
A little bit more reading of the dungeon journal and studying what actually happens and thinking about it a bit more rather than just following what Tankspot says.
Quite helpful as well, I've always found, to watch two or three different videos. So maybe use Tankspot, use a bit of Icy Veins as well, and maybe, is it Fat Boss Guides? I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and try and use all of those and have a look at what they each do in like similar, and have a look also where the differences are between them all as well. Because I think that's when you go into a boss like this, you've got to make it your own. You've got to look at your own composition and your strengths and your weaknesses and make it your own boss. So you need to understand where you're going to find that strength. I think that's where a lot of guilds actually don't pick up on it. Don't know if you guys agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, another thing about video guides, if you're a few weeks behind everyone else, have a look on YouTube. There's quite a few people that do tips and tricks. Not just straight strats, they actually say this is what we did to win. And that's what I picked up, a couple of little things from that, for like a Garrulon kill, for example, which translated into helping us push a little bit more.
I remember you told me about a subreddit that that was good for that kind of stuff as well. WowStrat, is that still active?
Yeah,
posting on that.
It's not as active as it was when it first launched, unfortunately, but it's.
So yeah. If you're listening to this and you have any tips and tricks, /r/WowStrat, go.
And we'll post a link up on Twitter after the show. So moving on then, one of the questions that I think comes up a lot, and one of the questions I wanted to answer, and I think it's perfect for you guys with yourself, Tomin, you're obviously the raid leader, yourself, Relic, you're obviously the guild master. So you guys have to see this on a day-to-day basis. So a lot of guilds out there are going to be having these problems. So they form this kind of casual core raiding guild. They're starting to do all right. But they want to start progressing a little bit more, and there's certain players within their team that perhaps aren't pushing their DPS or not doing quite enough healing or you know, just not doing really what you think they should be doing. One of the, I suppose the question is, how do you go about getting these people to give more, to do more in their raids? How do you get them to learn their classes better? What would the tactics you guys use be? And we'll start with yourself, Tomin, obviously, because you are an ex-guild master as well.
Yeah, it's really hard. I think most of it comes down to whether or not that person has the right attitude, and that's quite a woolly term, but it really is the case. I mean, if you've got somebody who really wants to do the best that they can do, and they're raiding because they want to perform well and they want to help out the rest of the team, and they're not just there because they want a little bit of loot and because they think it's a fun thing to do, then you know that's half the battle. I think the thing that I always go for in sort of a raid leading setting, and also when I'm chatting to people as well, is I stick to the mantra that you should publicly praise people and privately criticize them. So I always make sure that I'm encouraging people. If I see that, you know, we've got a feral druid who popped out of form and popped a really well-timed tranquility, then I'll let them know. I'll stop in the middle of the raid as we're going on. I'll say, you know, nice trank over there, honey, or whatever. And that's a pretty good way of getting people to pump out their chests and sort of realize that their performance, I guess, is being noticed, and that we do appreciate what they're doing and when they do something good.
Do you call all players honey?
I do.
You never call me honey.
Only
bastard.
The bearded ones, normally, to be honest. and on that same note as well, if I've got something that I need to bring up with somebody, if I don't think somebody's done something particularly well, then unless it's a general the raid needs to do this better kind of thing, which I will do, you know, publicly, if it's
in your daddy voice,
in my daddy voice, yep. If it's something that an individual needs to work on, then I'll whisper them and I'll have a chat with them and I'll say, look, you know, this is the score, this is what I need you to do to get better. Because I don't think it's particularly, it doesn't help anybody for me to be bringing that up in public, because one, it kind of gives everybody else carte blanche to do the same, and two, it's just, it's kind of bad for morale. So I like to keep everything as upbeat and happy as I can in the raid, and then just criticise people if I need to privately instead.
It is a game after all.
Yep.
You know, it is. But Relic, what kind of steps do you take on this?
Well, I really like Dave's approach, and that's the approach that we've been taking for the last almost a year now. We had a healing lead way back when we first started that was very much into public criticism. Not harsh criticism, but he would call people out for fucking up, which I don't particularly agree with. So it is encouraging people on the forums more to go and look at things and look at their performance. And when I do make posts, it is generally everyone as a team can do better, and let's all work on it, let's help each other out. So stuff like that. And private whispers if you think someone's particularly in need of help or in need of encouragement or in need of praise.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you know, these are the main points you need to make, and like you said, criticism should be private. There's no need to bring that to the group, unless you're criticising Melgrim.
Yep,
that's a completely different story. I mean, if you manage to blast them on the healing meters, then chuck it out there. Just spam it in raid, because it annoys him. And that's brilliant.
Yeah, I generally like to praise myself quite thoroughly in raid.
A lot, actually, a lot.
Yeah.
I think our listeners would have noticed when you said about nailing the tactics on Jin Rock, actually.
Yeah. Well, I did say that I did okay. Yeah, I was trying to be somewhat modest.
The best tank eat you.
Your overpowered class.
I think it's important to point out that if someone's doing something really stupid, then we don't just let it slide. You know, we do bring it up.
Yeah.
It's not that we just kind of sit there in silence thinking, oh, how are we going to fix this? And we will speak to those people, you know.
Okay, that's another important point. You need to obviously approach these people, otherwise they may not know they're doing anything wrong. I mean, we're talking about stuff where if you're doing something very wrong, it's easy to pick up on. What about to someone who perhaps just isn't pushing quite enough DPS? So someone who you've got an ult, you've got like, let's take mages for instance, because we've got one mage in the guild at the moment, haven't we? So if you had an alt mage and we had a new mage join all of a sudden and they weren't pushing their DPS as hard as they could be, or perhaps it was way below par, how would you approach this individual and try and coach them into getting the right kind of rotations and such like that?
Well, we had something similar for a guy that was playing a rogue. I don't think he'll mind me mentioning this. He's not in the raid team anymore. He's retired. But his DPS for his gear was not very good. I went to Raybot, and this is my process for seeing if someone's not doing exactly as good as they potentially could, including myself. Is if you go to Raybot, you can see what the average DPS is for that spec. Now for me, what I do is take the last week's worth of logs for a boss on normal modes. So you're not going to have the super elite players who are pushing heroics and doing, you know, 1.5 times the DPS that someone in normal mode would be doing. Have a look at the numbers there, see how they stack up, and then look at the world logs for people in the same situation, and you can have a look at their uptime of their buffs and all that kind of stuff and their abilities. So I did that, I think I've mentioned this before, for my Frost DK spec. And then it's just talking through and saying, have you done this, have you done that? And so I went through his spec with him on that, and he came to the realization he was prioritizing a couple of abilities that weren't prioritized by the top players. So he switched to that, and his DPS went up. So, you know, it can really be that simple.
I know, that was just like a private discussion between yourself and the player, just to kind of coach him into to just picking up a different style almost.
Yeah, so I talked to them in-game, I talked to them on Twitter, I talked to them on the forum. So
I think as a 10-man guild, we've got it quite hard for that kind of stuff, because, you know, I've been in 40-man guilds, I've been in 25-man guilds, and we've always had a number of people of the same class and spec in the same guild, and also, you know, within that structure you've had class leaders as well who've been very good at the class that they played, and that was always incredibly helpful because you just had somebody to bounce ideas off of. You know, you had a forum for discussing stuff like that, and you could all see what each other were doing on the logs and try and work on, you know, if you could see somebody was ahead of you, you could work out why. So I think the 10-man format kind of struggles a little bit in that regard because, you know, for instance, I'm the only Holy Paladin, so although I feel as though I'm performing okay, and in fairness I do quite a lot of... Shut up. And in fairness, I do quite a lot of log diving in World of Logs to try and work out what I'm doing and whether it's the best thing I could be doing. I don't have anybody to bounce those ideas off of. And we've got two rep paladins in our guild, and one of them, incredibly good performer, always the top of our DPS, always incredibly good. And we had another rep paladin who, when he started, was a little bit below. He was sort of middle of the pack, and he won't mind me saying that. But we got them speaking to each other, and we made sure that they were kind of working through what they were doing together. And the really good Rhett Paladin started coaching him a little bit, and as they worked together, you could kind of see that they were popping cooldowns at exactly the same time, and they had their execution centers rolling at exactly the same time. And as the second Rhett Paladin's gear got a little bit better, he started getting a lot closer, and now, you know, they're virtually indistinguishable. So I think we're unlucky, because as a 10-man guild, we don't have that, you know, the depth in the same number of classes playing. I do feel as if 25-man guilds have got it a little bit easier in that regard.
That's a whole different conversation, which we're not going to get into right now. But I mean, the kind of conclusion of this whole thing is basically, you know, you don't want to publicly humiliate these people. Just talk to them. If you've got someone else in the guild who's the same class as them and they're performing a lot better, then get them just to talk to each other. You'll see things improve. But
also look at the fights that you're stuck on as well, because if you have two tanks who are of different classes, you can still compare notes on when to use cooldowns for certain things. If the pickups are slacking on certain times and transitions. I mean, for Garrulon, for example, it wasn't doing spec comparisons, it was talking more about timing comparisons and things like that, so...
This seems like a subject we could talk about all day, but we are going to move on to the next section, and we're going to ask Relic about this section as well, and again ask him who he'd like to put his money on to. We're going to go into a race to world first section. So Vel, how's it going?
So the race is getting a little bit tighter. Obviously we're into the second week now. We have 6 guilds, 5 of them 25. No, we have 7 guilds, 6 of them 25. No, I'll go back again. 7 guilds, 5 of whom are a 25 man, that are 11-13. So they have Lei Shen left to go.
Yep.
And then they've obviously got the Raden, which is the optional, quote unquote, heroic mode only boss. Raden. So you've got the top 3 as normal, which is Paragon, Blood Legion, and Method. And my money is still on Blood Legion to get Lei Shen down first. But I mean, Lei Shen and not to say Blood Legion and Method are the pinnacle of 25 man guilds. Paragon, I think, is a complete outlier. They are insane, and they deserve their entire own race all by themselves. and also coming down to Exorcist, which is that Russian guild, they were 11-13 not long after Method got it. I think they were a few days behind. So this weekend will be quite interesting to see if anyone gets Lei Shen down, because I think they've cleared up to 11-13 already this week.
Am I right in thinking that they all reset this week?
Yeah, because I saw Zoomkind, which is Blood Legion's balance druid, post on Twitter about how Tuesday for them was Free Loot Tuesday. So they, I mean, he's got his full heroic mode tier set already, purely from, because obviously they prioritise gear for their top players, and he's one of the top players. But on Tuesday they basically cleared all the way up to wherever they were left off from the previous week, I think. So they've got it all nailed down. So now it's just Lei Shen pushing, and then you have to worry about the resets for Raiden and the limited attempts. So it's getting exciting, man. It's good to see finally a tier that's actually lasting longer than a week, because in T14, each raid was done within a week. Of a week of heroic modes, so 2 weeks.
I mean, Blizzard said that Raiden was going to be ridiculous anyway, so I'm kind of hoping that will be a good couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the good thing is you have to kill Lei Shen within the same lockout to get Raiden.
So you have to reset and go back into it again.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it's going to be amazing. Yep.
And it's quite lucky that we don't have the same kind of loot system, isn't it, really? Because otherwise, I don't think, you know, if we based it upon the best players in the guild getting loot, I don't think Toman would get anything.
Yeah, well, Blood Legion, I know, use DKP as well, but they're going to prioritise set pieces to their top guys. So, you know, Rignos and Absalom are going to get the tier pieces for themselves because they're the tanks, and the healers are going to get them prioritised and things like that. Yeah, but... I love it.
It is good, isn't it? It really is. It's like watching a World Cup. But
are any of them streaming, or is it all kind of you have to wait?
I was just about to say, on MMO this week they had a Dark Animus 25 video. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
the Blood Legion. Is that the Blood Legion one?
It is the Blood Legion one. Yeah, have you watched it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Ooh. It looks insane.
And Rignaros has his own one up on YouTube, just with his side of the vent, because for some reason they're not doing the entire videos of everyone's vent anymore, for some reason.
Yeah, do you think they will do when everybody's caught up, or...?
I'm sure they will once their streaming clears. They might do that. But they had... I watched the entire thing, 10 minutes, because I'm a complete Rignaros junkie.
You do have a man crush, don't you?
I have a huge man crush. He's a nasty man, but... I quite like watching his stuff, and because he's a blood DK as well. But towards the end, he was going to have a bloody heart attack. He was, oh, that fight was just nail biting. That video,
it does around the tank. I can't remember what it's called now. Like most things, but yeah, the rings that it does around the tanks is just insane. I couldn't believe how hard that fight looks.
It looks absolutely amazing. I can't wait to see it. Not that we'll see it on heroic mode, but.
Maybe in a couple of expansions' time.
We've got to get an outrun or something. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But by that time, we'll probably all be playing Titan, right?
That's never ever coming.
I think Titan's just going to be an MMO-sized dance.
So, again, I have to ask Relic, which team... I probably can guess which team you're going to say. Which team do you still think is going to get the world first Raiden kill?
Paragon will get it in 25 man. I'm 10 man and everything else. I'm quite confident in that. I personally think, like I said last week, if I was a smart man, I'd put my money on Method. There's something about the European teams that they just managed to push something a bit further. But Blood Legion will be quite close behind. Unless Exorcist pulls the stops out and surprises everyone, and they've picked up so well in the last few tiers, they've really come up to being a legitimate top 3 25 man.
Exciting times. So
those crazy Russians, yeah.
Still very much hard to say. Tommy, I don't know if you've got any view on this at all at the moment.
I'm the same. My head says Method, my heart says Blood Legion.
Wow, you guys both supporting the Americans here then.
That's because, I mean, Rel and I, we'd spend a lot of time talking on Google Chat, and we're always kind of idolising Riggs, so...
Yeah. Mainly his passion, yeah. I think. It's his passion. But no, when... Dave and I both love when he has his rage
it's
bits.
It's hilarious.
And we're watching his rage
Follow the
videos.
Goddamn star!
But, yeah. But just, I mean, just watching him, he is so on key with everything, and I know a lot of people hate him, especially Europeans hate Rignaros, but there's just something about him that just... It sets my heart aflutter.
I think we've just managed to get the title for this week's show, actually, and I think it's going to be based on Relic's love of Blood Legion, actually. But let's move on to the final part of the show. We're going to talk about something to help you raid better, something to help you play WoW better. And it's, of course, our Mod of the Week section. And this week, I do believe Toman sounds better. Toman sounds better. And we'll put this up to public vote before the next show, but I still think Toman sounds better.
I'm going to drive to your house and I'm going to punch you in the nose.
So, yeah, Mod of the Week, please, Toman.
Yeah, so this week is a mod called Hermes. Now, I've been a big fan of an add-on that I saw in a video a little while back called Blood Legion Cooldowns. And basically it was an add-on that wasn't on Curse, it wasn't on WoW Interface, you had to download it from GitHub. And it was an add-on that Blood Legion had kind of put together to track raid cooldowns. And the really cool thing about it is it kind of popped up
buttons on the side of your screen which would say which raid cooldowns were available and which ones had been used and who'd used them and what time was left on those cooldowns. And it was cool, but it wasn't being updated and it was getting a little bit buggy, and I'd quite often have to reload my UI to get it to display properly. So I've been looking for a replacement for a little while, and recently I came across Hermes, which essentially is the same thing. So it's a raid cooldown tracker. If any of you guys have used Aura 3 or Aura 2 back in the day, then you'll know what I mean by that. It basically looks for people that have got raid cooldowns, so your Devotion Aura, so your Rallying Cry, Spirit Link Totem, all that kind of stuff. It looks for people that have got those in their specs, and it will give you a list of how many of them you've got and who's got them available. The cool thing about Hermes is that it's really customizable, so you can have it display in little buttons that look a bit like your buff buttons, and you can place those wherever you want, or you can have like bars that look a bit like Alcano buff bars, or you can have it looking like Blood Legion cooldown, so you've got like a list on the side of what's available and where. And it's really customizable. You can take things in and out, so if you don't want to show, you know, if you don't think that Spirit Link Totem is particularly worthwhile, you can just take it out. There's no need to have it displayed. Why you'd do that, I've got no idea, but anyway, so it's really handy for me, because as a raid leader, it means that I can see I've got three paladins in the raid, I've got three devotion auras, I can see that Tommen's used his, that means I've got two left, I can see that Tommen's got 29 seconds until his comes back up again, so I know who to call for next, for whoever needs to cast theirs next, and it makes my life a lot easier. It just means that whenever I need to call a cooldown, all I need to do is just glance off to the side, have a look down the list, and decide who to call. And that, in reality, it takes, you know, half a second, and I know who to call a cooldown from. So it's brilliant. I mean, I definitely recommend you try it out. Even if you're not a raid leader, it's just really good to see what you've got available.
That actually sounds great. I might have to actually check that out, actually, because I did try downloading the Blood Legion cooldowns, and sadly, by the time I got around to doing it, I think they actually took off the site. it's certainly a mod that I'm going to have to try out. And I mean, what does it show? Individual cooldowns, or is it just raid cooldown?
You can, it does. It's designed for raid cooldowns, but you can add whatever cooldown you want in there. Pretty much, you can show when a tank's got his, when a warrior tank's got shield wall available. You can see when, you know, Rel's got his anti-magic shell available. It's really cool. I mean, I don't use it for that kind of stuff. I only use it for raid cooldowns, because as a raid leader, that's realistically all I need to know, because I trust my tanks. I know they're going to use their cooldowns when they need to. But if you wanted to be that sort of, you wanted that much control, you wanted to see exactly what was going on, you can do that. You can put in whatever you want.
Brilliant. And in fact, that could also,
there's even a facility where you can put in other spells as well that aren't necessarily included in the base package. So if you've got something that, you know, you want to be able to track but isn't built into the add-on, you can add it yourself anyway.
And this also obviously coincides quite nicely with what we were talking about earlier about trying to help people to raise their DPS and such like that. So if you are trying to coach someone, perhaps it would be a good idea to download this mod, and you can see when they're using their cooldowns. Would it give you that much information?
It would. Actually, it would be really great if you're a class leader in say, a 25-man guild. If you're the mage class leader, what you could do is you could set it just to show mage cooldowns, and then you could see exactly when all of your mages are casting their cooldowns. And same for if you're in a 10-man guild and you want to see what your healers are doing, or if you're a tank and you want to see what your other tank's doing. To be honest, it's really handy, not just for raid leaders, it's really handy for anybody that wants to see what's going on.
Brilliant. Sounds great. I'm going to certainly download that after the show, especially after my taste of raid leading, which I got the other week. I'm not a very good raid leader.
No.
But
nor am I. Why do you think I passed
it on time? Do you believe you'll find it's pronounced Toe-Man?
Shut up!
Right, and sadly, everyone, that brings us to the end of the show. Please remember, any questions, or if you'd like to submit any ideas to the show, maybe you want to say you hate it, maybe you want to say you love Relic's voice, maybe you want to say Toe-Man sounds better than Tommen, then you
Nobody's
can either
gonna
email
say
us.
That. Nobody is going to say that, just don't
it's,
even think
it's
about
a
it.
Possibility. You can either email us at mailbag@readycheck.co.uk or follow us on Twitter. Tag is @ready_check. So thanks for listening, everyone, and look forward to episode number 4.
Cool.
Thanks. Bye.